Women's Shir and Chavis Halavas, Shir HaBechina, Sunday afternoon, Zion Adar, Yom Aleph Parshas Tetzaveh, Zion Adar. We'll be starting in approximately 1 minute. Okay. We're learning Chavis Halavas, Shir HaBechina. And the Chavis Halavas now teaches us something very interesting. In Shir HaBechina, we learn to look at the world. Hopefully, we're learning it in all these weeks and months, to look at everything around us and to appreciate the complexity of the world. And therefore, we gain an insight, somewhat of an insight, into Hashem's existence. And obviously this was done by a master planner, and Hashem's chokhmah and wisdom and chesed, and how everything was created with great chesed and complexity and wisdom for the benefit of mankind. Now, until now, we've been talking about things like biology. Mainly he's been concentrating, as he said, this is the closest to a person, this is what a person has the biggest connection to. And this is the easiest to see, he says, even though in some sense it's the hardest, because we get used to it, which is why he wrote Shir HaBechina, because we get used to things and take them for granted. But so he says this is the closest. This is what a person can just look at his fingers, look at it, think how the food's being digested, think about his eyes, his thoughts, his mouth, how he's talking, everything very amazingly complex. And he talked about speech, and that's what we learned about last week. He talked about, is something that is the way the Torah refers to a person's intelligence and his Mila over an animal, not so much as intelligence, but speech, that the intelligence is channeled into the ability to express those intelligent thoughts and to teach them to others and to talk to others and to communicate that wisdom. Now we're starting from the next thing. He talks about writing. He talks about it in the context of speech, that we could write we write down the words, we make a record of what was said. But before we learn the words of the Chavis Halavas, the text of the Chavis Halavas, this is the first time he's talking about something that we would think of as man-made, like an invention that people made. And writing. Someone had to start writing, whether you think it's cavemen or the Egyptians, or it doesn't matter. But the point is, at some point in time, people started writing. So, and this is the Chavis Halavas' perspective throughout the whole Sefer. He refers to it many times throughout the Sefer. And sometimes we tend not to think that way. As I say, a person discovered, harnessed the power of electricity, they discovered the atom, they discovered this, they discovered that. So we don't think of it as Hashem. But the Chavis Halavas holds it's all planned by Hashem. Hashem plans what's revealed to people, what's not revealed to people. Hashem puts the idea into people's heads. He mentioned earlier in Shir HaBechina, the whole idea of a government and a police force, and you hire people to put out fires and you hire people to protect the citizenry from lawbreakers. This is all a chesed Hashem. And as he puts implants the ideas into people. And the same with writing. In other words, Hashem and any invention and any chiddush of people, whether it's the chiddush of democracy or anything, the Industrial Revolution, anything in history, anything that we think of people as the inventors, so certainly they are, but they're shluchei Hashem, and Hashem opened up the gates of wisdom and allowed people to think of these things, to realize these things. Certainly a lot of inventions were serendipity, so that certainly you see Yad Hashem. But even if not, it was just the very fact that someone figured this out at a certain point in time means that there was a certain point in time in history when Hashem wanted this revealed, and you could figure out, if you're Zoche, you could sometimes figure out like where it fits in the flow of history, when this happened and when that happened and when this discovery happened, and the light bulb which changed the whole world. He's going to soon talk about the qualities of Choshech and how it makes you slow down and get much needed rest. And then you start saying to yourself, well, so why at a certain point in history did Hashem introduce the light bulb and electricity and the light, and now night is like day and there's nothing you can't do at night, you just get enough lights and then fluorescent lights. So there's reasons for it. Sometimes you figure out the reason, sometimes not. Just like in the avarim of a person, sometimes you could figure out all of the tasks that the Aver is tasked to do. So the same it is with inventions and with history. So here's really the first explicit expression of that idea. We'll call it a chiddush, because he segues from the power of speech and the ability to speak. And he says, v'achar kach, and after this, after you realize the chesed Hashem in the power of speech, chashov b'mad. We can extend speech. I can write down what I've said, and long after I'm gone, someone can read it. And it's not lost. It's not lost, and even if I teach it to Talmidim, how many Talmidim will there be? And each one has their own interpretation, as it is anyway, each one has their own interpretation of what's written. But the idea, and he says, you know, again, we overlook the marvel of it. I can write a letter to someone, and in his days, right, there's no email. You're talking about, right, you read these stories about the West, right, Little House on the Prairie, right, it took 6 months to get a letter, but they were so thrilled, like, and that's a chiddush, you know, writing allows that. Writing allows me to find out what's happening far away. Writing allows me to write down my thoughts, my ideas, and it's there for posterity. And this is all the chiddush of Vacher Kach, and after that, if the speech, Chashov, think about the Milos, the benefits. Osios of the ABC, of the, well, Aleph Beis, of the alphabet. Hamichtov, Osios Hamichtov, that's the alphabet. Vaksiva, and the fact that you can write. That you can make, I say words, and those words have syllables, and they have vowels and consonants, and then, and words, and it forms words, and the words form a sentence. Hopefully an intelligible sentence, and you can make a record of that. You can make a record of that. And that's amazing. That's wondrous. That's a chesed Hashem. So he says, Asher Bohena, with the power of writing, with the benefits of writing, Mechavrim Maisei Ha'ovrim V'hanim Tzo. That's the first thing he says is, we connect, we link. Maisei Ha'ovrim V'hanim Tzoim. Remember, this is like very... This is written, again, over 1,000 years ago, and he's analyzing how writing benefits mankind. So he's saying, you link Maisei Ha'ovrim, the actions, the deeds, the stories, the events of Ha'ovrim V'hanim Tzoim, of the past, Ha'ovrim V'hanim Tzoim, and the present. We can link the deeds of the past generations with the present generations, Laboy Machrayim, to future generations. And you can build on the knowledge and the accomplishments of the past. You can build upon the ideas of the past. You can have a record of what was said, so you know what was going on in their minds and what they thought about. It's a chiddush, and it's a chesed Hashem. Laboy Machrayim. So it links the generations. That's the first benefit of writing, he says. It links the generations. Next, umagiyim divrayim. So first of all, it preserves the past. It makes a record of the past and the present for the future. Umagiyam divrayim el misha eno nimtza imohem. Another benefit is that you can communicate your ideas. Someone doesn't have to be within earshot of your voice. You can write it down and send it to them. Wow, that's a chiddush. That's Hashem invented a way. Hashem allowed there to be a way that I can communicate my ideas not only to the people who are in my Dalaramas, not only to the people in this room, but I can write it down and send it to them, or you know, whatever, however the you know the methodology is. So that's umagiyam divrehem el mi she'eno nimtza imohem, to people who are not near you. V'yodim divrei harechokim mehem. That's like a newspaper. You know what's going on with people who are far away from you. So you normally would not interact with those people, but now you know what their lives are like, what they do, how they solve certain problems. V'nyonei krovehem. You can keep up with your family, relatives who are in a different country, so you could communicate. You could find out what's happening with them. You want to know about them. You want to share your life with them. You want them to share their lives with you. There's a way of doing so. It's called writing. And there's an ABC, and there's sentences, and you can write down, and that's the mind that processes it and understands. And Asher Beretz Acheres, your relatives who are living in a different land, She'efshar She'bahagiyam Aleyam Chayei Rucham, maybe they're a little depressed, maybe they're lonely. They'll get a letter from you, you'll cheer them up. Right? That's what he's saying. She'efshar She'bahagiyam Aleyam Chayei Rucham, they'll cheer up. Maybe they'll save them from harm. You can warn them. You can give them answers how to deal with their problems. See, we're used to telephone now. Hashem introduced the telephone into the world. So now we don't, like, what's writing? Who has time to write? An email? Who has time to mail? Right? So now you talk. I could pick up a phone and talk to a man that's standing on the moon holding a piece of plastic in my hand. And that's better than writing. Sometimes writing is very good. Baruch Hashem, even now, we should think about the benefits of writing, where you can think before you communicate. When you talk, you don't always think before you communicate. And when you write, you have at least you have a fighting chance before you hit that send button to read it again and to see what it says, right? After it drops into the mailbox, and I think in Google you have like a few seconds to be chaser from the send. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But so that's.
Doesn't he talk about mass printing and publishing?
Chaim Halavus. Well, he's over 1,000 years ago. What printing? Who printing? That's also a chiddush again. Everything was introduced. Hashem introduced everything into the world. You know, now every a mitzvah boy can get a shas. It's like no big deal. Chavis Halavus's time to own a shas was like probably to have a shas was a labor of years, of thousands of hours of writing by different people and they're copying. If you think about it, who had a shas? Like maybe like the big cities, there was like one shas. The Rishonim didn't have the whole shas. They didn't have it. Who says they should have it? I'm saying we don't realize. Hashem knows, you know, we need this. We need electric lights, and we need air conditioning, and we need a printing press. This is all the flow of history. And again, the Shaar HaBechina says, think about Chesed Hashem. Try to figure out how Hashem is, you know, putting things in their right place at the right time. So he's talking about, again, going back to what he's saying, we're learning the Sefer, writing, and it cheers up your relatives, they hear from you, it could help them from warning them or teaching them how to deal with their problems. That could even save their lives. The power of the written word, right? I remember from history, the Federalist Papers, right? The whole America was created you could say, with the power of writing, with the pamphlets that were written by those people who wrote the whatever it's called. And guess what? You know, Torah. Torah is a piece of writing, and that's what. You know, there's an olive bays, and it's written, and now we know the Dvar Hashem. This is Torah Shebiksav, and that's also part of writing. And we have a Chodesh Halavos because he wrote down. And again, there's a few hundred years before anything was printed. You know how many people had a copy of the Chodesh Halavos that it should survive throughout hundreds of years and be available for someone to print it? We have to thank all those people, and we have to thank Hashem for making it possible to do. And human knowledge is preserved, otherwise it might get lost. You don't know if it'll be carried on through Talmidim, but you write a book and now it's there, now it exists. Again, he's mamish analyzing every prat u prat of the benefit. You can put together. Sometimes sometimes knowledge, especially scientific knowledge, is a puzzle, and everybody only knows a little piece of the puzzle. So how are you going to collect it? Who's going to put it together and realize that it's something of mass, of much importance here that can change the way we live? Everybody only has a small piece of knowledge because they write it down. So that's another benefit of writing, is that it allows us to collect the knowledge and put it together. Uvotis kayema achokmos bisforim, viyashabru hoinyonim hamufuzorim belavavos. The knowledge that's scattered among many minds can be gathered together. Okay, now he says another benefit. It facilitates commerce. There's a record of a transaction. Otherwise, there would always be fights. You could have witnesses to a transaction. But what are you going to do? You're going to put those witnesses on a leash, and you're going to carry them, walk around with them your whole life, so that if the guy comes and says, "This is my field, give it to me," no, I can produce a deed. I can produce a written record that it's mine, and I bought it from you, or whatever. So ubo kosvin with the koyach, with the chiddush of writing, mashiyesh beinehem, you can write down the you record business transactions, minyoni masu matan. Uschora and merchandise, selling, buying, balvo, loans, vikinyan, buying deeds, venesuin, vigarishim, everything, life. Life is recorded. Otherwise, there would be chaos. So we learn Shar HaBachina and we thank Hashem that there's writing and people have the idea to record transactions in a star, and a deed, and with a formal stamp, and now there's a record of it, Lidoros. It's really in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. It says, Uksol b'sefer v'chasom, buy a field, and write a star on the field. Uksol b'sefer, write it down, v'chasom, and sign it, or seal it. L'man yamdu yomim rabim. Now you have a record of it, for many doros. You have a record who owns this field. V'ha'inyan rav mehashlim. And the uses for writing and the benefits of writing are so many that I can't list them all. Rav mehashlim. There's too many benefits of writing that I can't. Right. So now he goes on to the next topic. But really, this is, as we'll see now, he comes back to talking about hands and fingers with which we write. Because really, he really is focusing on the Avarim, on things that exist. But he went from speech, so he went into writing, because that's how he sees writing, as a way of preserving speech. So he said, that's amazing, that's wonderful, that's also worthy of Shar HaBachina. Now he goes back and he says, U'me'ashlamas ha'tova ala adam, more benefits of that Hashem bestows upon mankind, is his hands and fingers. We talked about the motor skill of the hand, but now he talks about different size fingers and the dexterity of a person, and the animals don't have it. Everybody has what they need. The animals have, some of them have claws, some of them have paws. A human has hands with amazing dexterity, with fingers that are very nimble, they can do a lot of things. Shehuchan lo kafi etzbol, so he has a palm, right, and then he has fingers jutting out, separate fingers of different sizes that do different things. L'sakin behem haroshem, he's still talking about writing. He has fingers because they used to just, with their hands, make indentation, with their fingers, make indentations into clay, I guess, roshem. V'amichtav, or regular writing, v'harikma, and embroidery. U'kadichas eish, to make a fire. You have to be very dexterous, I guess, to even strike two stones together, or put a strike a flint against a stone and make fire. You have to be dexterous with your fingers. Ushar ha-maisim v'amlochas ha-dakos, other forms of work that are very fine, that are edel, that need dexterity. Mibaladei sharmine chayim, that other living creatures can't do. Mitnei sheinam tzrichem lohem. They don't need it. They don't need it, so they don't have it. Hashem gives, every animal has the type of hand or foot that they need to survive, to live, to get food, to protect themselves from other creatures. Man has fingers, you know, maybe you could theoretically, I guess, kill someone else with your fingers if you choke them, but normally you wouldn't. So the anechlami, it could do that, but it's not made to do that. But an animal sometimes has things that obviously are there to kill predators, or maybe it's a predator. But they don't have the way fingers the way we do, because they don't need it. Their lives are not lives that require fingers. They're not building buildings, they're not writing, they're not doing edel work that needs what we have as fingers. They have the claws and the paws, and they have their fingernails, and the Omar, now he makes a general statement. Again, we've been learning this for the last few months. Ki ein eiver shazacharti to'alosav, and remember, you have to always remember, this is written over 1,000 years ago. The knowledge we have now makes the Chayvus Halvavus, it's like he's in first grade. There's nothing wrong with saying that. The knowledge that they had in his day, which he obviously knew, and he was up on it, whether he went to school or not, I don't know, but he holds it a mitzvah to study these things, so he obviously studied it, and he knew it. But compared to what we know now, the knowledge that's out there now, it's a joke. There's nothing else to say. It's a joke. It's like kid stuff, mamish kid stuff, child stuff. So rudimentary and elementary, and we know so much more now. And everything the Chayvus Halvavus says is now still true, and it's magnified 1,000 times. If he talks about the digestive system as being complex, and a complexity that proves Hashem's existence and shows Hashem's chesed and shows Hashem's chokmah, imagine our knowledge of the digestive system, how we have to just be utterly amazed at it and utterly thankful and grateful for it. Ki ein eiver shezachalti to'alosav, the love is talking, there's no limb whose benefits I mentioned, she'ein simoni ha'chokmo nirim, that you don't see fantastic wisdom by our kavaso and the way it's put together, the composition, utfunoso, and the way it behaves, the chiburo, and the way it connects to other things, because things work together in tandem, and everything like comes together when you want to do anything, when you want to pick something up, the way the mind works with the muscles and the hand, it all works together. Lemishim is boning bohem, but you have to study it and think about it. The edusam chazaka, and the testimony, powerful testimony, urayosam gluya, and powerful proof, al chemlas habore olenu. This is the part we learned. There are three things he wants us to gain out of Shaar HaBechina: recognition and awareness of Hashem, of Chochmas Hashem, and of Chesed Hashem. He's going to sum this up also in a few lines. Here he focuses on Chemlas Habori Aleinu, that Hashem is kind to us and he gives us whatever we need, and everything is just exactly the way it's supposed to be. And therefore, we have to feel grateful. That's the point of Shaar HaBechina. Half the point, right? One of the points is to be aware of Hashem, to be convinced of Hashem, and the other one is to be grateful for all the things Hashem does. To walk around feeling grateful for everything that's going on every moment in our lives. Ukvorbir Golinus, there was some sort of it was the name of a physician, a Greek physician, Galen, whatever, maybe you heard of him, you didn't hear of him, but he wrote a lot of books about the organs. Well, what's now a famous book, something, in great detail, the human body.
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, yeah. So he wrote, right, so when was Grey's Anatomy written? When was Grey's Anatomy written? What? When was Grey's Anatomy written? In the 1700s? Or even earlier? Anyway, this Greek physician wrote such a book too. And he explained Bakamas Forum in many of his books, To'alos Ha'evorim. Again, and what did they know already? It's almost a joke to us if we would study it the way Chazalos wants us to study it. He explained To'alos Ha'evorim. You know, what I mentioned here is nothing. He says, I touched a drop upon things. But he explained it in great detail, To'alos Ha'evorim, Bo'er Heitev, in great detail. And by the way, the Chayvus Al, and he was a guy, in case anybody's interested. Chayvus Al Lovus in his Hakdomo, which we learned, says that you learn from everyone. If it's, whatever's true, Kabbalah Samus, Mimisha Amoro, and you don't have to be embarrassed, or there's nothing wrong with learning from a guy, he says in his Hakdomo, from a non-Jew. If there's something to be learned from it, and it's wisdom, and it's something that you can use in your life, in your Avodas Hashem, so take it from a goy, nothing wrong. So he does that here, explicitly. He's doing that in his sefer. He's saying, take this guy's books, and read them, and study them, and learn them. The Ilu Ayinu Mechavnen, he says, if we would have wanted an hour sefer, right, we're learning this for months, because I tried to give a little taste of the scope of what we're talking about. But he says, he really just mentions it. He just says a couple of words here and a couple of words there. If I would have done what Galen did, if one Aver, if I would have done it, then I would have had a whole different Sefer. It would have been twice as big as it is now. It would have been hard to carry. Right? I would go out of what really I'm writing the Sefer for. I'm not writing a biology book. I'm just touching upon these things so that you should sit back and say, wow, and you should pick up the ball and you should study it. And I just mentioned it because I'm writing a certain type of sefer, and I don't want to lose sight of my goal of writing the sefer and have like, and it should turn into for a couple of hundred pages a biology book. I feel that what I wrote is sufficient to give you a taste of the way Hashem, of Hashem, a taste of Shar HaBechina, a taste of what's going on in the world. Lahoir, to wake up, Mishioreu HaBore, Derech Hatzoloso, to someone who Hashem makes his mind stir and be awake and say, wow, I really have to do this, I have to live this way, I have to be grateful. I have to understand these things and appreciate what Hashem has given me, every little thing, every step of the way. As is Hashem is Barach. What? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fine. He's just pointing out that there are books out there that explain the to'eles, the purpose of each aver, that there's nothing extra in a person and everything, every aver. And then you think about how they function together, right? In the digestive system, you have different systems that have to work together as you swallow the saliva and the teeth and everything, and it goes down the throat. I mean, everything has to work together. The stomach has to, right, be ready for the package that's coming. Process. Okay, now we're moving along. We're going away from biology of a person, right? We're moving. You can tell everybody they can come back. It's almost safe to come back. He's moving now. I think I'm going to stop adding to what we're learning, and we'll just read the words and translate them and give a little flavor, but we're not going to delve into anything. We've had enough of that, I think, I hope. And now he goes into other animals, the animal kingdom. That was one of the, right, when he listed seven disciplines that a person has to learn. So one of them was, I guess we call it zoology. One of them is the study of animals. Acha bechina, doing bechina, b'shor minei chayim, other living creatures, v'an hogosom and their behavior, u'mechiosom and the way they're fed. Every animal has a source of michya, a source of food, a food supply. It's not concealed. Again, this is over 1,000 years ago. He says, you study it. Go make a study of it. There's people that study it. It's not a mystery. It's not a secret. You just have to get out there. Get up and don't be lazy and go study it. And you'll know it. And you'll see umizboneh simoneh achachma mehem. And you'll see amazing wisdom and amazing chachma in all the animals that there are, and domesticated animals, and what sheep supply us with, what goats supply us with, what cows supply us with, all these behemoths that are kosher or that are domesticated. They're there for a purpose, and Hashem made them into food producing machines or wool producing machines, right? They eat a little grass. Hashem made a machine that eats grass, and wool grows out of grass, right? Or milk comes out of it. The owl came, and therefore studying animals, shonim osam hasforim, we find in Tanakh that the Navi, Ruach HaKodesh, the Navi talks about the wonder of animals. The Zachram Plios Haborius Allah. When the Navi speaks of Hashem's wonders, the wonders that exist in the world, he talks about animals. Kmosh Amar Le'iyov. It says, Miyochen La'orev Tzedo, who provides food for the raven, Ki Yelodov El Kel Yeshavu Ki'ilu, the children cry out to Hashem, because there's a species of raven that doesn't feed its children. We say it in every day in Davening. No saying the Vahema Lachma, Lubaneo Rave Asheya Crow. The Gemara says there's a species of raven where the parents don't feed the children and Hashem takes care of them. Omar, oh, no saying the Vahema Lachma, Lubaneo Rave Asheya Crow. And the Pasuk, Barchinavshi refers, a few Pasukim refers to animals. And if you keep your eyes and ears open as you go through either Mishlei or Tehillim or Eov, you see references to animals and the their wondrous world. The Harbe Kleilu. What? Perikshira doesn't, I don't think Perikshira, I mean, if you learn it with a commentary, then maybe you would get some Shar HaBechina out of it. I don't think Perikshira talks about the attributes of the animals and how a man. And again, you have to realize we say, Hazonas Ha'olam Kulo B'tuvo, Opseches Yodechu Masbiya L'chol Chai Ratzon. I think the Torah Tidbits used to have, or maybe they still do once in a while, to have a little thing like the amazing way that each of different animals, how they get their food supply. And it's just utter, sometimes it's just amazingly complex, and at the moment this animal lays something and this animal eats it, it's like the whole Bria comes together to feed the animal kingdom. This is really a mission at the end of the Kiddushin that talks about that people are just overly stressed about Parnasa. They should chill out. The animals don't go to college. They don't have Bagriyut. Right? They just sit there and munch the grass. If Hashem gives them grass, or if Hashem wants them to get... Really, it's like amazing how some animals are fed or sustained by an amazing sequence of events, and things have to come together at the exact moment. And it's there. I think, you know, the Torah Tidbits, they used to have a... it was always with a round, a half circle was the heading on it. But really, you can pick up any book about animals and see just the complexity of how they're fed and how they're sustained. And that's what we say when we say, we're not talking about people. We're talking about the whole Bria. Vahar Bekraelu. Okay, and that's all he says about it. And again, you have to go and study it and look at it. Now he talks about astronomy, which is another thing on his list of disciplines. What?
There are animals that actually starve to death.
There are people that starve to death also. There are people that starve to death too, but they're the exception or the rule. They're always the exception, right? The other rabbi, from that you see, you should be like unbelievable. Everybody else is getting food. Obviously, right? There's a reason why this happened. It's the rare exception, the almost infinitesimal occurrence.
There's a moth that's bought that's made without a mouth. It lives just long enough to lay eggs and then dies.
Okay.
Because the only creature that lives
doesn't. We could spend 6 months at least studying different animals and how they live and how they survive. Forget about it, just how they eat. That's just one part of their lives. But hibernation, I mean, the whole, what they do, beavers, animals do so many things. And it's all to benefit mankind, by the way. Now he talks about astronomy. Now, again, you know, when you talk about the astronomy that he knew, and the astronomy that we know, it's laughable. But he says that in his days, if you would study, I mean, they had things in his days, right? People, sailors went to sea, and they figured out how the kochavim should look, and they moved in a certain pattern, and they didn't, that was their markers, that they shouldn't get lost. And they knew it would move, so they cheshmen for it, and always, like, it didn't deviate, right? Just like now, I mean, when they send the rocket ship up, the rocket ship is pointed at a place where, right, there ain't no Mars there. But we could figure out mathematically where Mars is going to be in, like, what is it, 3.5 years. And meanwhile, the whole Shamayim is moving. And the seasons and the years and the months and the constellations, everything's moving. And gravity, each planet, each star has its own gravitational pull. And it's moving at a certain rate based on its where it is located in the solar system. So again, we're going to learn his words from his perspective. When a person studies the merutzos hal galgalim, the course, the merutzos when they move of the heavenly spheres, hachalukim betnuos mishtanos, and then they have different characteristics. The tenuos mishtanos, and they move differently, various movements, v'hama'orim, and the things that give light, the sun and the moon and the stars give light, hachalukim l'sader inyan hakol, and they function together and they really run the universe. It's not for nothing that people used to worship the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon are energy sources. They energize everything that goes on in the world. There would be no motion, there would be nothing without the sun pumping in energy for anything to just be, for anything for time to move, it's all the sun, and to a lesser degree the moon, and they all function together, the way everything works. Bohem Yira, and you study astronomy, and you will see misimone hayecholes Hashem's omniscience, the hachochmo and his wisdom. This is in his time. He said, if you study the astronomy that they knew in his time, you will be blown away. That you will see, it's not possible for a person to have, like, it's beyond the capacity of the human mind to comprehend everything that's going on. And that's him talking. The yilel asapram b'loshon. You would get tired out. You would be tuckered out from describing what's going on in the shemayim and shmei hashemayim and the kochavim b'mesilosam and how everything's moving and acting and reacting. Kmo shomer David HaMelech olav hashalom. And this is why David HaMelech declares hashemayim asapram kavod kael u'ma'aseyodo magid arakia. That's like. Right? I don't want to say, it's the best, it's the clearest, it's the most blatant, it's what we see every day. Rabbi Avigdor Milovzatzal points out so many times in a lot of his forum that the longest bracha is the bracha of Yotzer HaMaoros, the bracha on the luminaries, on the things that come up every morning, and they stock outside, and this is happening all over the world. A little, everybody gets up, and then it gets lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. And if you study it, so Yozochet to Hashemayim Mesaprim, again, this is the Lashon of the Pasuk. How are they Mesaprim? They don't have mouths, they don't have tongues. It means by what they are, by the things they do. And you have to, you want to have an ear to listen, you study. Study what they do, and they'll be talking to you. Kavod Kael, Umasa Yodov Magid Harakia, Ushara Mizmor. That whole Mizmor, Mizmor Yutes, is talking about, that thing. When I look at your skies, then it says, Hashem is so high and mighty and powerful. And one of the most impressive sights, Shanofelos Olavein Ha'odom, Mibrio Habore Yisala Agadolos, from the creations of Hashem. Hashemayim is the sky with the way it's set up. Kibichol Mokom Shuomein Ala'oretz, wherever on earth you stand, you'll see half a sphere that surrounds the world. Yirech Hatzia Galgal Asovi Vesa'oretz, Umishem Mistakal Ba'odom Alderech Habachina, if you look at it thoughtfully and you're thinking about it, and you want to examine how what the universe looks like, what the world looks like, Yirek Yabori also Bechefso, Hashem who created everything with His will, ain't tachlis studying astronomy and the way the bodies of the sky are held up and how they move and how they ain't Kiabori also Bechefso ain't tachlis liyacholto v'chachmoso v'godlo. And again, it's just amazing how he said it over 1,000 years ago. He said, if we look at the pyramids, you look at things that people built, and we go, whoa, how did they build that? They were so smart, they were so strong. That's nothing when you how much different is a, so a pyramid, okay, they figured out how to build it. But you look at the Shemayim, and you say, this is something that's beyond belief.
Do you yeah. have any thoughts about these meteors that have been falling?
No.
You say we're supposed to think about
okay.
these things.
Yes, duck.
Look at all the media that don't fall, and you know, what? But it's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. So if you study, why don't they all fall, right? That's okay, we'll stop here. I think, I have a feeling that next week we won't have Shir. Unless you invite me to your house, then I'll gladly at 12:15, I'll gladly taste some of your.